Father, we just thank you, God, so much for your abundant and rich love. Father, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 days elsewhere. And my prayer is that we only have a few Thanksgivings left. It's a holiday that comes around once a year. It's been this way for many, many years. But for many of us here today, our days are limited. The years are limited. Comes around once a year, and it goes without saying that we won't see too many of these. But as the song we just sung so wonderfully stated, even if we were to meet every Thanksgiving here in worshiping and thanking you, those words would never be enough to tell you of all that your love deserves. In fact, if we spent every single minute of every waking day for the rest of our lives thanking you, it still would not be enough. But Father, we get into your word today. Help us to understand and see. Open our eyes, Holy Spirit, as to see why Thanksgiving is so vital in a culture that is saturated with a sense of entitlement, in a culture that no longer meets for worship on Thanksgiving Day, the ironies of all ironies. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit's power, you will help us to see the vital importance and significance of Thanksgiving. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Luke 17, 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God, except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, for many of you who may have never learned this, or for many of us who may have forgotten, the Thanksgiving holiday is centered on a historical American incident. You see, the Mayflower arrived in December of 1620, and the pilgrims who were on that boat were known as the Puritans. They had left England in order to freely obey the Bible. The Church of England was becoming oppressive. The Puritans had espoused a Calvinism that was running against what it was being taught in the church at the time. And in order to escape political oppression, they got on a boat known as the Mayflower, which barely made it across the Atlantic. It was a miracle itself, the journey. And they landed in December of 1620. Their desire was to establish, quote, a redeemer nation. The Puritans took that passage in the Bible where Jesus says, "You are a city on a hill," literally. They wanted to establish in America a city that was indeed set on a hill, a redeemer nation that would be a model of light to all of Europe. Europe was descending quickly into its following the footsteps of Roman Catholicism. And the Puritans wanted to escape that as a result of the Protestant Reformation. Now, this was indeed an admirable goal, but it did not come without harsh costs. They were imprisoned in Europe. Many of them were put to death for their faith. And the journey itself was a harsh one, not to mention the first winter. After a harsh winter in which many of them died, by the fall of 1621, the pilgrims finally had a harvest and great reason to rejoice. In fact, historically, we have a list and an accounting of everyone who survived that first winter of 1620 and 1621. There were four married women. Most of the women died. Many of them, trying to preserve the health of their children, were exposed to the cold themselves and died in order to maintain their progeny. So after that first winter, there only remained four married women, five adolescent girls, nine adolescent boys, 13 young children, and 22 men. So as you can see, most of the women died off in that first harsh winter. So understand the mindset. They came with admirable goals. They came because of persecution. They took the words of Christ literally. Blessed are you if you are persecuted for the name of righteousness. And they also believed that put first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added to you. But everything seemed to go against that teaching. Especially that first winter, when more than half of their women died off. But they stuck to the cause. They stuck to the word of God. They held on to the promises of God. And by the fall of 1621, they finally had a harvest. They had great reason to rejoice. In fact, the first Thanksgiving Day was solely instituted for the praise and worship of God. It was not this commercialized holiday with a parade that we think of today. It was indeed a community that had just come out of a harsh, harsh undertaking, and the day was instituted as a day of worship to God. And this is why we as Mustard Seed, as a church, we will meet every Thanksgiving Day for the worship of God. It is inherent and the very reason, and the reason to the very creation of this North American holiday. Understand that if you come from a culture where you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, that's fine. But if you are celebrating Thanksgiving, if you are having this meal with the turkey and all that, then as a believer in Jesus Christ, I believe it is incumbent upon you to celebrate the day first and foremost in worship. The holiday itself loses its significance without the worship of God. It was created for that. Now the Puritan Edward Winslow, in that first Thanksgiving Day, this is what he wrote. He wrote, "They began now to gather in the small harvest they had, and to fill up their houses and dwellings against winter, because they remembered last winter, they now were prepared. They gathered, being all well recovered in health and strength, and had all things in good plenty." God had blessed them. "For as some were thus employed in affairs abroad, others were exercised in fishing, about cod and bass and other fish, of which they took good store, of which every family had their portion. All the summer there was no want, and now began to come in the store of fowl," in other words, birds, turkeys, "as winter approached, of which this place did abound when they came first, but afterward decreased by degrees. And besides waterfowl, there was great store of wild turkeys, of which they took many besides venison," in other words, deer meat. "Besides, they had about a peck of meal a week to a person, or now since harvest, Indian corn to that proportion, which made many afterwards write so largely of their plenty here to their friends in England, which were not feigned, in other words, pretended, but true reports. In other words, after that first harsh winter, God had blessed them so bountifully that they wrote to their relatives in England about the harvest. They had stuck to it, and God had honored them. Now that is the historical background behind your turkey, behind your Thanksgiving. In that small community in Plymouth, in Massachusetts, was the birth spring of a nation as we know it. As an election year has just passed by, we have come very far as a nation from that first Thanksgiving, from that first Mayflower Compact, from that first desire to establish a Redeemer nation. Would to God that we as a people of God pray for America to come back to its roots. Now, I want to give us as a church three reasons as to why Thanksgiving is vital. I'm going to give it all firsthand, and then I'm going to go through the text and explain and expound each one. First of all, Thanksgiving is vital because it is indicative of genuine salvation. Number two, Thanksgiving is vital because it is an actual command and will of God. Thanksgiving is vital because it is an actual command and will of God. And that's important for us as believers because Jesus says, if you love me, what? Keep my commands. Number three, Thanksgiving is vital because it is indicative of a proper theology or understanding of God. Those three things are very important because especially on a day and a holiday where Thanksgiving is just sort of a common trite word that you sling at somebody today, we sort of need to know the significance behind it all. And my hope and prayer is that by the end of today's sermon, you will really grant and feel the weightiness of this day that we celebrate. So first, Thanksgiving is vital because it is indicative of genuine salvation. Where do I get that from? I get that from today's text, Luke 17. So we know the story, we've read it together. There are 10 lepers that are cleansed. And as they're headed to the priest, Jesus heals them, but only one returns. And the text in verse 16 says that it was a Samaritan. Historical background. The Samaritans were viewed by Jews as half-breeds. Pagans who deserved the fires of hell. Not worthy of worshiping God in the very same temple as the Jews. The heirs of a false religion. Samaritans. In fact, this is why when they persecuted our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they accused him of being a madman, possessed with the devil, a Samaritan. Now it is the Samaritan, this foreigner, who after being healed, is the only one who returns to Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah. And here's what it says in verse 16. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet. So there is now a physical component to Thanksgiving. It is not just the posture of the heart, but there is a genuine physical component to it, which is why you guys are physically here today. You're not just saying, God, I thank you at home. You are physically in church. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, and what? And he gave him thanks. Jesus responds to this. He's touched. And now he gives us the exegetical work for what occurred. In other words, he interprets what just happened. Because for us, we could look at a situation like this and go, oh, you know, maybe the other nine really gave God thanks and they did it in their own way, or they did it to the priest or whatnot. Jesus says, no, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. Listen to verse 17. Were not 10 cleansed? So he's talking about physical cleansing. Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God? This is very interesting now. This is very interesting now, because in verse 16, to whom did the leper give, the former leper, give thanks to? To Jesus. The others headed to the priest. So in one sense, you could say these guys went to God and gave God thanks. Jesus, what are you talking about? Jesus was saying, no, I'm God. I'm God. I'm God in the flesh. So that's why verse 18, he says, was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner. In other words, was no one else able to recognize my Messiahship? Was no one else able to recognize that I am God? Was no one else able to recognize that I am the Savior except for this foreigner? And look at verse 19. And he said to them, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now stop for a moment. This doesn't make any sense if you're just thinking in the physical sense. Because you would pause there and tell Jesus, Jesus, what are you talking about? All of them were made well. He's not talking about that. He's not talking about physical cleansing. You got to understand something about lepers in the first century. Lepers, because of Judaic law, were regulated to a separate society in and of themselves. In fact, if they were to get near anyone else in Jewish society, they were the first to cry out, leper, unclean, unclean. That would be a warning for everyone else to flee from the scene. And as ostracizing as a physical ailment was, and as horrific as a physical ailment is, infinitely worse is the ailment of the human soul. You see, Jesus understood a deep truth that many of you here understand. That a leper who believes in Christ, though he may never be healed of his leprosy, is infinitely at a better place than one who does not have disease, but is not healed inwardly. All of you understand the gospel. And the gospel is the very center, the epicenter, and the reason for which we are gathered here today. The gospel is the reason why you have thanksgiving occurring in this sanctuary. In the gospel, a holy and righteous God looks at all of us spiritual lepers. And though He loves us, He sees the stain of blackened sin upon our souls and declares us guilty and worthy of eternal judgment in hell. But in the goodness that is God, He sends down His own Son, Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, who dies on the cross historically. We've been talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ every single Sunday so far. Historically dies on the cross for our sins, pays for our sins on the cross, absorbs the wrath of God that you and I deserve, resurrects 3 days later historically, so that if you turn from your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ, you will have eternal life. And if you did that and are doing that today, you have infinitely reasons, many reasons to give God thanks. In fact, throw away the turkey, throw away the family. In fact, if I could say that, I'm not saying to literally do that, but throw that away, right? For a moment, and think about those of us without families. Think about, some of you are here today very far from family. This is the closest to family you'll have in New York City. Think about that. Throw away all family, throw away the turkey, throw all that away. In fact, if they were all to die and you were left alone, you would still not be destitute. As a believer in the gospel of Jesus Christ, your faith has made you well. You have great reason to give thanks today. And as thankful as you are, for I believe you do believe in the gospel, many of you here today, one day that joy will become a reality and your gratitude today will not compare to the gratitude you'll have the day when you stand before God face to face. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. And that's why Jesus says in verse 19, rise and go your way, your faith has made you well. The other nine received physical healing. The one Samaritan leper got saved. Here's how Matthew Henry, the wonderful expositor from yesteryear, put it. A sense of our spiritual leprosy should make us very humble whenever we draw near to Christ. It is enough to refer to ourselves to the compassions of Christ, for they fail not. We may look for God to meet us with mercy when we are found in the way of obedience. Only one of those who were healed returned to give thanks. It becomes us, like him, to be humble in thanksgivings as well as in prayers. Christ noticed the one who thus distinguished himself. He was a Samaritan. The others only got the outward cure. He alone got the spiritual blessing. This is why the first point in today's message was the most important point. If you're going to leave here today with one important message about Thanksgiving, okay, it is not a message of morality. If there is a church in this city that's left having worship today, sadly the message is often give thanks to God because it's the right thing to do. It's a message of moralism. Unfortunately, moralism doesn't save. The one message I want you to leave here today is with this. You are to give God thanks, and it is essentially vital that you do, because by doing so, it is indicative that you are genuinely saved. So why should you give thanks? Because of the gospel. You don't believe in the gospel? Of course, you don't have anything to give thanks about. You believe in this gospel? Though the circumstances in your life right now may be grim, you have great things to give God thanks for about. Here's how Claude's commentary put it. This stranger, often God receives more praise and affectionate obedience from those who have long lived without his knowledge and fear than from those who were bred up among his people and who profess to be called by his name. The simple reason is those who have much forgiven will love much. And I think Clark makes a very important point there. Isn't that true that most of us who have been raised in the church, for some of us who came to Christ the last year, right? I envy you. Because the fire and love and the thanksgiving that I see in your heart day to day in your devotions and your life is what all of us should have. But is it not true that many of us who have been in Christ for many years, we become dull to the gospel? And by becoming dull to the gospel, what lacks? Thanksgiving. And instead of giving God thanks, we do what unbelievers do. What is characterizing of the unbeliever's life? The one trait that is characteristic of every unbeliever is a life of complaint. Gratitude and thanksgiving is bestowed upon the believer. It distinguishes us from all others because we have infinite reason to give God thanks. Now, my second point in today's message is this. Thanksgiving is vital because it is an actual command and will of God. It's strange that I would say this because in our society today, it's strange that we would actually go to somebody and say, give thanks, I command you. I tell my kids that at times because they're learning that when someone gives them something, it's the right thing to do. But as we get older, we don't normally, at least, have someone come up to us and say, I command you to give me thanks. But God is a little bit different. God, being infinitely good, infinitely wise, infinitely glorious, deserves all of our thanks. And therefore, it is fitting that God commands us to give thanks. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks, so it's a command, in all circumstances. Now, does it say in circumstances where your barn is filled, when the turkey's on the table, when the bank account has a lot of zeros following the one, is that when you ought to be giving God thanks? No. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So often we try to find out what the will of God is. God, what's your will concerning career? What's your will concerning college? What's your will concerning marriage? But here is God's revealed will. If we fail to obey the revealed will of God, we can put to rest all of our other vain pursuits. God says in His Word, for this is the will of God, what is? Giving thanks in all circumstances. Now, how are you able to do that? How in the world are you able to do that? It's because it sounds kind of cold to me that when I'm diagnosed with terminal cancer, the Word of God comes to me and commands me to give thanks in all circumstances. How does this work? It works because it's in conjunction with point number 3. And that was, thanksgiving is vital because it is indicative of a proper theology or understanding of God. And why do I say this? Turn with me to Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 always should be held in conjunction with 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It is impossible for you to do the 1 Thessalonians 5:18 of giving thanks in all circumstances without the promise of Romans 8:28. Here's what it says in Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things, notice here again, all things. Just like 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give God thanks in all circumstances, now Romans 8:28 says, God works all things together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. So inherent in this are very, very basic principles that you have to hold on to. Principle number 1, God is absolutely in full control. He is sovereign. Okay? Every single atom in this universe, God controls. That's important to know. And number 2, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, God is only good towards you. He's only good. And you might be sitting here thinking to yourself, let's hypothetically imagine that you committed a sin in the past. And because of that sin, you're in a rut that you're in today. I know in that kind of situation, we can easily tell ourselves, yeah, I know God works all things together for good, but not this. This I'm responsible for. This I'm paying the consequences for, and it will never be righted. And God is saying no. In proper theology, in proper biblical teaching, in proper God's Word, it says, all things. Even your mess-ups, even when others have sinned against you and messed up your life, and even when you're diagnosed with terminal cancer. All things. God works all things together for good, for those who love Him and are called by what? The gospel according to His purpose. This is the anchor for your soul. Because unless you understand this truth, it is impossible for you to give God thanks in all circumstances. You know the will of God, and you know you ought to be giving God thanks, but you cannot and will not unless you believe in Romans 8:28. That God is working all things together for your good in the midst of the most heinous and horrific circumstances. And it takes faith. You may not know the reason or the answers immediately, but in faith you have to believe that for those of you who believe in the gospel, He is working all things together for your good. He is constantly love towards you. Now, it doesn't mean that we continue in our sins, for there are consequences. And as a loving Father disciplines, God disciplines, it says in Hebrews. But it does mean that we repent. come before the Lord and with the Spirit's help, walk in the power of the Spirit, lives of holiness. And as we do so, it will be exemplified as a life of thanksgiving. So Mustard Seed today, the exhortation to you on thanksgiving is to give God thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Are you in Christ Jesus today? Well, then this message is for you. In all circumstances, give God thanks because He is working all things for your good. He loves you. And that is worthy of thanksgiving this morning. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. It will be tested. It will be tested. Our thanksgiving to You will be tested because when God's people give Him thanks, it gives glory to the Father, and the enemy of our souls hate that. He hates it. So the number one thing that we will always be constantly tempted to do is to doubt God and to not give Him thanks. It has been the problem in the garden, in the beginning of humanity. Satan tempted Eve, caused her to doubt. Instead of giving God thanks, he made her think God doesn't want what's best for you. And the minute we doubt that God is working all things together for our good is when the thanksgiving will cease from our lips and we will turn to sin. It happened with Eve, and it happens time and time again in our society today. Romans 1 clearly says that although they knew God, instead of giving Him thanks and acknowledging Him as God, they turned to idols, epitomized by the sin of homosexuality. They turned to self. So this Thanksgiving, I am so thankful for our church and for people who this morning, the first thing they did when they woke up, if they got a roof over their heads, if they got food on the table, yeah, all of those things, given. But first and foremost, that they were saved from the eternal wrath of holy God. And so they came out to church today, fell at the feet of Jesus, and said, Jesus, thank You. Thank You. You healed me from my physical ailments. You provided me physically with food and clothing. But first and foremost, thank You, because You saved my soul. And Jesus looks to us today and says, Your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. That's the cry of our hearts today, Lord God. I pray as a church that this will be something we do every Thanksgiving Day. We will come first and foremost to the house of the Lord and present ourselves before You and give You thanks. Before we go to our families, before we eat our meals, before we do anything else on this day, we will do this every single year. We come before You and worship You because You deserve all the glory, the honor, and the thanks. And Your Word says that You will honor those who honor You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll once again give you a few minutes. Give the Lord thanksgiving today. How great is Your salvation? Amen? How great is Your salvation? Reflect on the cross. Reflect on your sins. Reflect on your redemption. Think about that song, how He healed you, He washed you, turned you around, set your feet on solid ground, That's what Jesus did. That's what he did for that leper. The other nine didn't realize that the greatest gift is not physical healing. The greatest gift is that he turns you around. He's healed your soul, set you free from sin, and gave you eternal life through the gospel. Reflect upon that today. Take a few minutes and give God thanks. I want to read you some scripture to assist you in that as you pray this morning.